welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me as ever, I've got the Bullet Club Hunter, Nick Davey.
Good evening.
You well, Nick?
Oh, very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. And joining us for this review, we've got author of One Man's Exploration into British Wrestling and the Fan's Perspective 2016. What a year to be a fan of WWE, Oliver Newman. How you doing this evening, Oliver?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks, Chris. And yourself, Nick?
Yeah, very good. Very, very good.
Oh, you happy to be back on the show, Oliver?
Yeah, like I said, I've been tweeting about the show to get promotion for yourselves, and obviously you've done an amazing job promoting my books, which I really appreciate. Everything that I've said in the tweets has not been hyperbole. I really enjoyed my time being a guest on the British Wrestling show, and I'm delighted to be invited back to be a part of this No Mercy review show.
I did make one mistake, apparently. I can't remember who was... Noam Dar should have been in our top 10, apparently. But on the list I had, he was down as Israeli. But everyone says that he should be British. So I don't mind correcting myself after the fact. But it's on the list I had, he had him down as Israeli. So I was just looking for the British flag, and I was going down the list.
Well, mistakes happen.
So before we get into the news, have you been into any shows recently, Nick?
Yeah, I went to watch Progress at Alexandra Palace.
I'm so jealous.
A few weeks ago. Hey?
So really jealous.
Yeah, no, it was an excellent show, as expected, really. A really good venue as well. I've never been to Alexandra Palace before, so it delivered. Obviously, I think there's a lot of concern that would it be a good wrestling venue, but it certainly was. Really, really thoroughly enjoyable day. The results were an opening ladder match between CCK and British Strong Style, consisting of Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, which CCK won. Good opening match. Then it was a women's title match between Toni Storm and Dahlia Black, which Toni Storm won after Junie attacked Dahlia Black. The third match was a Zack Sabre Jr. Open Challenge, in which probably one of the biggest pops I've ever been at a live show happened. Marty Skull made his return to Progress.
Wow.
In a losing effort to Zack Sabre Jr. Marty did announce after the show that he's probably done with Progress, but obviously thank the fans and everything, and explain how much he does love Progress as a company. And just before the interval, it was probably one of the most brutal live matches I've ever seen. I mean, that the brutal most live match I've ever seen. A death match between Jimmy Havoc and Mark Haskins.
Wow.
I think death says it all, really. It was death at times, with Havoc winning, but it was a gruesome match. And then after that, we had some more matches. We had probably a contender for match of the night. My favourite match was the death match, but a triple threat match for the Atlas title between Matt Riddle defending against Walter and Timothy Thatcher, in which Walter won. After the match, Walter was confronted by a Davies and Wolfgang.
Wow.
A bit of a stare down that was. We then had an eight-man number one contenders match, in which Mark Andrews won and then was attacked by best friend and tag team partner Eddie Dennis after, so pretty upsetting. And the main event, Travis Banks versus Pete Dunne, in which Travis Banks won and is the new Progress title, new Progress World Heavyweight Champion. Excellent, and let's say it was an excellent show as a whole.
So with Pete Dunne and British Strong Style both losing the titles, do you think this means they'll be in WWE a bit more?
Well, there's a lot of talk about that as well, isn't there? With the there's talk, obviously, they're in NXT a bit more. We've seen them, obviously, at the moment with the with Adam Cole and everyone, Carly O'Reilly and Bobby Fish on NXT at the moment. So there is certainly talk that they're going to be extending there. They're going to be on NXT a lot more. That's rumours why they've got the belts. Obviously, we don't know. There was looked like a signal with Pete Dunne at the end when he sort of chucked the belts at Banks, walked off like he didn't really care, and then sort of did a wave to the crowd, and then also his tweet after as well, that sort of thank you Progress, and about also saying how happy he is that they've got the Wembley venue as well for next season, next year. They're going to be at Wembley Arena, so there is a lot of talk there. All three of them, as they have dropped their belts, they're going to bring NXT more, and obviously we've already seen them on NXT a bit more since Progress, obviously NXT is filmed in advance, but I wouldn't be surprised, yeah, if we see them on NXT more, and it's probably a it probably is linked with that. Yeah.
Have you seen any shows you've recently?
I haven't been to any live shows recently, unfortunately, since the last time I was on the podcast. But one of the main things that I've been watching lately was the Mae Young Classic. And, you know, it was a tremendous tournament in general. You know, there were so many really good matches and stuff. And I'm not sure whether certain people have been signed and stuff, but I'd just like to give my opinion on who should be, really, if they aren't already. Yeah. Jazzy Gaber was a standout performer in the tournament. I think she's been signed since. It's been kind of reported on different mediums that's happened. Nick talked about Tony Storm. She, from the very first moment I saw her in the tournament, she just has it, really. She's just got star quality and would be a tremendous addition to the women's division on NXT, Raw or SmackDown. And third is Serena Deeb. I think she would be a tremendous signing and kind of could play that Brian Kendrick role of the veteran who comes back, who's got that second chance.
Mm.
And you know, and then they go to NXT, Raw, SmackDown, and you know, if she got an opportunity like Kendrick did, I'm sure she'd grasp it with both hands. So those are the three people that have kind of jumped out at me in the Mae Young Classic. If you guys have seen it, what have you thought about the tournament itself?
I saw the first round and then I watched the semi-final, the final today. Mercedes Mendez, was it?
Martinez.
I thought she was really good, even though she's nearly 40. I think she'd work. I mean, NXT, I know she could take on a training role as well, because I knew she trained, I can't remember any of their names. What's the MMA girl?
Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, she was her trainer.
So yeah.
That was a brilliant story in the semi-final.
Yeah, that was a really
I think they do
match.
Really want to sign Tony Storm and Piper Nevin, or Piper, whoever wants to call her, because they were both in Japan and they flew them out just for the day to stand at the ringside in the final.
Oh, wow.
So they're not going to go through all that expense, they don't want you, really.
Yeah. And that's another one. I think she's been signed and stuff, but Shayna Baszler was absolutely amazing in the Mae Young Classic. She was, tremendous, just really unique and different to all the other females. And I thought that the final would be her against Tony Storm, really. Kairi Sane had come in with a lot of hype and stuff, and I was like, she is really good, but I thought Tony Storm was a better character, and I thought Shayna Baszler just blew me away, really, from first round match until the final, and including the final, I thought she was just incredible to watch, like a Brock Lesnar or Ken Shamrock of the female variety.
Apparently the original plan was for it to be Storm and Sane in the final, but then the whole Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen thing came up, and it thought it'd be better for that storyline if they put Baszler in the final.
I think that might be a correct booking decision in the future, in all honesty. You've got four talented female athletes from MMA against four tremendously talented wrestlers in WWE. Mm. That's a money feud, isn't it, really?
Yeah. And then Sane goes on to have an NXT women's title at the next takeover event. Do you think she's got a chance of winning? Or I don't know who she had. We haven't announced who she'll be against yet, but would it be fair on the NXT women if she won?
I'm not sure. I mean, in all honesty, I didn't like the way Asuka just vacated the title. In all honesty, I thought it should have been won and lost in the ring. I understand, you know, the streak and stuff, but for me personally, for the longest time this year, I'd wanted her to lose it in the ring to, you know, to numerous contenders. Nikki Cross was one, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, any of them to have beaten Asuka. And I don't think it would have affected things in the women's division or her debut on Raw or, you know, SmackDown before, you know, before knowing what brand she was going to. So I wanted her to lose the title, even if it was to Kairi Sane at the next NXT, and then for her to move on. But that hasn't happened. Obviously, it's been discussed that Kairi Sane is going to get the NXT women's title shot, but who's she going to go up against? It's a bit of a strange one, really.
I've heard multiple reports that they're going to have a multi woman match, or it'll be Ember Moon. Seems to be the two reports I've read.
I think it's something that they didn't need to do this. They could have, if they were going to do it this way, keep it on Asuka versus Kairi Sane, and then have Kairi Sane beat her.
A few stories have caught my eye this week. I just want to discuss these two quickly before we do the review. So RVD has hinted in an interview with Sports Illustrated that he's open to a WWE return. Nick, would you like to see RVD back at his age?
I mean, I love RVD, but he's not at the top of my list of people I'd love to see debut or come into WWE in the next sort of 6 months or so. I do like RVD, but as I said, I certainly wouldn't make a big song and dance about it. Today he's obviously a quality athlete, he's had an incredible career, but obviously, even really at his age, so it's not really one that you'd make a big song and dance about, but he's still a great athlete. And yeah, it would be pretty good to see him back in WWE, like in a mid-card role on either brand. And he could help a lot of the younger talent there, but as I said, he wouldn't be top of my list of people that I would love to see debut in WWE, but nonetheless, still, he's still an awesome athlete, and so he could offer a lot to WWE, but like I say, he's not at the top of my list at this moment in time.
So we asked our Twitter followers if they would like RVD to return to WWE. Would they like him on Raw or SmackDown? 54% said Raw. Oliver, do you agree with our followers?
No, in all honesty. Sorry, guys. I think Raw's overcrowded. SmackDown was the place to be in 2016 when it became SmackDown Live. And it desperately needs an influx of something to change about, because like SmackDown on a weekly basis was amazing back end of last year, and a talent of Rob Van Dam's ability being on SmackDown Live might make it must see once again, and it'd be a reason for me to get out my old Rob Van Dam wrestling t-shirt. So
There also could be a third option, because on a recent WWE Network survey, WWE asked if we would be interested in a relaunch of ECW as a network show. Nick, would you like to see a relaunch of ECW? As long as it isn't as bad as the 2006 one.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know. I don't think they really need to. I think they've got enough going on at the moment with the tournaments they keep having with the UK, the women's tournament, the Cruiserweight tournament. Obviously, they've got NXT, they've got Raw, SmackDown. I don't think they really need to, in all honesty.
I think what they're going for, they want a wrestling show that is, it's 14 plus, or I can't remember what the actual rating's called, but it's a more adult, edgy product, which they can't put on USA. So if they put they can put it on the network.
Listen, well, isn't NXT kind of that?
I think they want it even more edgier. They wouldn't be able to go back to how ECW used to be.
They wouldn't be able to go too extreme, would they? So
they can't do headshots, or they can't go too sexist, and they can't do that.
Yeah, no, I generally don't think they need to be honest. I'd still watch it probably, but I generally just don't think they need to.
Oliver, what do you think of a relaunch of ECW?
Once again, much like Nick, I'm not sure. I think the relaunch of ECW in like 2005, 2006 on the back of the One Night Stand pay-per-views was it had some potential with it. CM Punk was the champion, and it kind of all faltered on that, December to Dismember pay-per-view, which for some reason only had two matches announced going into the show, so that's the reason why it didn't do so well. It was a vehicle to you know, promote young up and coming, you know, wrestlers and stuff, Evan Bourne and Zack Ryder and what have you. So if it's used as a vehicle to give, you know, young up and coming wrestlers an opportunity, then it's a good idea. But then you've got NXT, so I'm not sure why it would need to be, you know, why it would need to be involved, because you can't really bring back the ECW originals because they're kind of heading towards like retirement age. So it's, I don't know if it would be able to have the ECW spirit of the 90s that was lacking to an extent in the reboot. So I'm not sure. If it's produced and it's put in front of us, then we can make a decision from there. But much like Nick, I'm not 100% sure about it. More content is good if you're a network subscriber, but yeah, not sure.
Well, could they use it as another development territory? Have NXT based out of Florida and this one based out of Philadelphia?
I suppose they could, but I don't know. I think NXT is going to be the best developmental territory, isn't it? You look at the performance center, look how many rings there are, look at the world-class facility that they have there. And then you're saying, well, you know, let's go and do that in Philadelphia. I'm not quite sure there's a reason to do so. Like I said, if a rebooted ECW is put in the network, you're tuning in, you'll see how it goes. But like Nick said about Rob Van Dam, for him, he wasn't sure if that's needed in the company. A reboot of ECW, I'm not sure if it's needed either.
Oh yeah! You're the Macho Man Randy Savage, and every week I listen to the Action Now Premier League podcast on V2 Football with Miss Elizabeth. Oh yeah, snap into it! Dig it!
Right, so it's time for our review of No Mercy. So Nick, did you watch the pre-show?
No, I love pay-per-view. However, I will be staying up for my first pay-per-view since I don't know when, for Hell in a Cell, because I realised that I've looked at my schedule. I'm actually off on the Monday, so unless I have a ridiculously heavy night on Saturday, which I haven't got planned at the moment in time, I will probably be up staying up for Hell in a Cell, which will mean I can watch a pre-show match. So, I do know what the pre-show match was, though, this time, which is an improvement on SummerSlam. It was Apollo Crews versus Elias Samson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a decent match. It went about, 8-9 minutes? And, yeah, there's nothing to write home about. It was pretty standard Elias Samson match. He came out, sang a song knocking LA, and then Crews and O'Neill interrupted him. They had a decent match, and he won with a Driftaway Neckbreaker. But I just don't understand how you have a two-hour pre-show, but only have one match on it. So.
No, this was an hour this time.
Oh.
Yeah, this was an hour.
Still seems very. It seemed very.
I get what you mean about the two-hour pre-show.
Oh, wasn't WrestleMania 3 hours? It seemed very stupidly. I'm sure it was the length of the pay-per-view, the WrestleMania one. So the first match of the card was the WWE Intercontinental Championship match between Jason Jordan and The Miz. Nick, what did you think of the match?
Yeah, no, I'll put it as a pretty good opening match. I did love the way the crowd was involved in it. I don't know if I'm surprised or not, but a big pop for The Miz when he won as well.
Yeah, the crowd wasn't loving Jordan. There was chance of who's your daddy.
Yeah, I know. as I said, I was pretty invested in the opening match. Two great athletes. So I think the Miz is just brilliant. It really is, isn't he? I mean, again, he's actually got, if anything, I think he's probably got even better since how good he was in 2016 and Smackdown Live this year. He's just outstanding. But yeah, Jordan, obviously the match was coming. I think I predicted this match to happen after, well, I thought it was actually going to happen at SummerSlam, but it's interesting where they're going to go, Jordan. I mean, I've got a feeling they might go down the heel route with him. Now, I think, obviously, his promo after the match, obviously, it'll be interesting to see what happens on Raw with Jordan. I think it'll be interesting to see if they do go down a heel route with Jordan, especially as well with him attacking people, Kurt Angle having a go at him on Raw. Whether he might become a bit more heelish, I don't know. It was a good opening match, and so chuffed the Miz still won.
Oliver, do you see Jason Jordan as a possible future IC champion?
I don't think this Kurt Angle's your dad's storyline has done any favours for him, to be honest.
Would it work if they both turned heel and heel's getting opportunities because he's his dad? And the other company to the ring and just go full on manager with him, but be like a corrupt boss as well.
Yeah, but hasn't that kind of been done to death? In all honesty, you've taken him from a tag team that was incredibly successful in NXT. You didn't know what to do with him on SmackDown. And then all of a sudden, okay, Kurt Angle's your dad, and you're going to push him, you know, going to put him forward for the IC title based on the fact that Kurt Angle's his dad. You know, Jason Jordan's a tremendous athlete, incredible wrestler, but because of this storyline, the fans are not buying it, and they're turning on him. He's got the athleticism and technical wrestling ability to turn it round when, you know, like Nick says, he's going to have to turn into a villain to make this work. And that's how it's going to be. But, you know, you had him and Gable, and they were amazingly, you know, popular with the crowd. And now to see the kind of, I wouldn't say hatred, but the unpopularity of Jason Jordan because Kurt Angle was his quote-unquote dad is sad to see, really. I think it affected that match in a bad way, and made me not really invested in it. And, you know, Miz has always been tremendous. 2016 was an amazing year, and he's continued that into 2017. Nick says it was, you know, a really good match. Myself, I didn't enjoy it as much.
Do you see The Miz keeping the title till Mania? Because I think he'll beat Pedro Morales' record of combined IC reigns if he keeps it till just after. Or I think if he can lose it at Mania and still beat the record.
I think the key thing for me is as long as he's defending it all the time.
Yeah,
I don't want the IC title to be put on the back burner. I want it defended, you know, once a month on Raw, every pay-per-view to have a storyline going in. Because if you look at 2016, from when Maurice come back and The Miz, you know, gained the title from Zack Ryder the night after WrestleMania on Raw, up until now, he's had storylines with, you know, with Dolph Ziggler. He's been in tremendous matches with Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. That was
the year-long feud with
2016 stuff. So as long as there's good matches and the title's being defended, I hope he does. I think he's been the best Intercontinental Champion for the longest time, in all honesty.
Up next was the Man versus Man match when Finn Balor was against Bray Wyatt. What did you think of Finn's new grey attire?
Oh, I thought it was pretty cool. I've enjoyed the feud. I've enjoyed the feud. I really like Finn Balor. I think he's a great wrestler. But it's another feud. It's another. You're probably like to get the feuds over. It's another loss for Bray Wyatt. I think Bray Wyatt's absolutely awesome. I think he's one of the best talkers in WWE. I think he's got one of the best characters in WWE. I think everything about him is it could be amazing. But my God, they it's getting out of hand now. The amount of feuds he is actually losing. And as I say, it's it's getting worrying the amount of feuds they're making them lose, because until what, they're making them still look like this really tough badass that attacks people and everything, intimidates people, when he loses every feud that's going, pretty much.
I think the key thing is with this as well, Nick, he's lost back-to-back matches against Finn Balor.
Exactly, well, he lost against him as the Demon King, and he lost against, I mean, that would have, I think that would have been fine if Bray Wyatt had won on No Mercy, because Balor's got the win as the at SummerSlam, and you can also keep it as his Balor. You could make it to a storyline where he's Balor and he could when he's the Demon King.
Yeah.
So they could have actually built on from that two ways. Then they could keep Wyatt looking very strong, building him up again. But I must look at, I don't know what the stats are, but Wyatt's pay per view record must be shocking. On wins and defeats. So it's a shame, because he is, in my opinion, one of my favourite characters in WWE. But they just need to get booking, winning matches, I think.
Would you rate him off TV for a whole year and then make him come back with a brand new family?
Well, I don't know. Isn't that a bit harsh? keeping someone on TV for that long? I don't know.
Everything about him is just like weird, cryptic promo, have a match, win, then lose the next two. Weird,
yeah,
cryptic
exactly.
promo, win the first match, lose the next two. It's kind of just a pattern.
Exactly. It's randomly, I mean, there was a picture, wasn't there, on Twitter that was doing the rounds on social media. It's a picture of him, shows up, randomly attacks someone, cuts a promo, loses the feud. No, sorry, yes, it turns up, attacks someone, loses the feud, repeat. It just seems to be the sad story every time with Bray.
But the most frustrating thing with it is they've had so many times to build him up over the years. You know, he could have won the Rumble, he could have beat Undertaker, he could have beat Undertaker and Kane at Undertaker's 25th anniversary debut.
He should have beat Orton at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have, you know, he could have won the title sooner. Sister Abigail could have been a person as opposed to a... I don't even know what she is, really. You know, the Wyatt family falling into pieces. Could have fought Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32, I want to say, because the Wyatt family eliminated Brock Lesnar at the Rumble, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, I think they ended up doing the match at Roadblock.
Yeah. And he was injured, and it was Luke Harper who got a few suplexes and pinned.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they don't want to make Bray Wyatt more than what he is, because, like Nick said, he's an incredible character, amazing on the microphone, good in-ring wrestler as well, and the sky was the limit with this character. But if he, like Nick says, if he continues to lose match and feud after feud, then, you know, what's going to be left?
The bit I didn't like about this match was Wyatt attacks him at the beginning. I didn't like the way Wyatt had to goad him back into the ring. He's the face, he should want to be fight and be held back. And then he was out with a rib injury. This was the guy who won the Universal title with a separated shoulder.
Yeah, that's true. But then, in all honesty, that was the first really good match for me of the pay-per-view. That surprised me in a way. Because, like I said to you, Chris, I'm not really a Raw SmackDown watcher. At least at the present time, I'm just kind of, tuning in for the pay-per-views. So I just watched that with open eyes, and I really enjoyed that match. That was the first really good one on the pay-per-view.
So next up was a promo for Oscar's Raw debut at the TLC. Excited for Oscar to be on Raw? I was hoping she'd go to SmackDown, because I thought her versus Charlotte at WrestleMania would be amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'm still looking forward to it. I think she'll be quality. I thought the promo was pretty quality as well. They're making it a big deal. But no, it'd be interesting to see if she feuds. I mean, obviously, the obvious feud will probably be Alexa Bliss.
I think she'll be in a title match straight away. There's rumours going around she'll be against Emma.
True, actually, so. They might even make her. It could even be just a random person that they even announce, like someone, I don't know, like maybe like Dana Brooke or someone.
Emma's the rumour.
Yeah, with Emma. It could be someone like that. She'll just face and squash. and then it'd be inserted into the feud. But no, I think it'll be good. Nonetheless, I think SmackDown could have probably been the better home for her to go to.
Right, so next up was my match of the night, was the Raw Tag Team titles between the Bar. I'm still coming to terms with that tag team name.
Shane and Sansa's alright.
Against Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. One word first match. Ouch. Paul Cesaro. Knocking out some of his teeth.
Yeah, wow. Match of the night, and just when Cesaro couldn't be my favorite wrestler in WWE, this happens. The painful. But no, yeah,
did you see the tweet he sent out? It was I'm looking for a dentist, Isaac Yankum DDS. Are you available or something?
I think we all know what Cesaro wants for Christmas, don't we?
Yeah, it was an excellent match. I really like all four men in the match have been quality in the whole feud, and this whole feud's been great. Both of their matches have been insane. I like both tag teams. Every time Cesaro's in a ring, it just amazes me how good this guy actually is. He's insane talent. And I think also people, this with teaming him up with Cesaro, is also make people appreciate how much of a talent Sheamus is as well. I think Sheamus is class as well. I think the whole tag team's been such a success. And I thought, the feud's been great. I don't really want the feud to finish as well. I'm really enjoying it. I hope they can have maybe like a TLC match or something at TLC.
I reckon they'll have a TLC match and throw the Hardys in if Jeff's better.
Before I watched No Mercy, they said he was injured. Mm. They said how long Jeff's out for?
I haven't seen. I just know that he's gone in for surgery.
Because they could put the Hardys in, but also the club as well. So it'd be interesting what they do there. But no, hopefully it's an inflation of some kind. It was just ladders, but yeah, TLC would be quality, I think, between them and two teams. The whole feud's been great. And yeah, 100% my match of the night.
Yeah, it was my match of the night as well. And if you look at the two brands, the tag team division is in good hands, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
On both sides, Usos against New Day and Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins against Cesaro and Sheamus. It's a good time to be a fan of tag team wrestling. And just quickly going back to Asuka, she should have gone to the SmackDown brand.
I agree.
And that was my match of the night as well, sorry.
Yeah, they also had my spot of the night, was when Sheamus had Ambrose in the... called White Noise? I'm not sure, I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
And then Rollins went to Hurricane Rada, Cesaro at the top rope, and he caught him and then powerbombed Rollins right onto Ambrose. I was like, how did he kick out of that? It's a brilliant a double team move. It should be their finishing move every time.
I had a flashback to WCW versus NWO World Tour on the Nintendo 64 back in the day. Top row powerbombs.
Yeah. Right, so the end came when Sheamus accidentally broke-kicked Cesaro. There was talk of dissent that maybe breaking up the team before the pay-per-view, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I hope they never break up that team. It's unbelievable that they were kind of thrown together after the Clash of Champions Night Champions match last September 2016, mm. where they had that outstanding match and Mick Foley put them together because the best of seven series ended in a draw, and now you look at them about a year on and they're just incredible as a tag team.
Yeah, it's how tag teams they should show off for tag teams, how tag teams should work. So they spent most of the match just beating up. Was it Ambrose arm they beat up most of the match? Just focusing on one of their opponents, which is great tag team wrestling.
Absolutely.
Nice. Next up was the Fatal Four, the Fatal Five Way. On the original notes, was Fatal Four Way. So Fatal Five Way for the Raw Women's Championship between Emma, Banks, Jax, Bayley, and Bliss.
Yeah, this was a really good match. In all honesty,
could have done with another 5 minutes. was pretty short. I reckon it could have done with another 5 minutes. It was pretty short.
I think it got, you know, the story across. I think the in-ring action was chaotic and, you know, just amazing to watch the different storyline arcs. You know, Nia Jax being taken out with the powerbomb, which was one of the really big ouch moments of the night.
It did look nasty.
Because it looked quite brutal, didn't it? And then she came back, and then all the ladies were breaking up pinfalls to stop the match from ending and stuff. I just thought it was a really smartly worked match. I really enjoyed every second of it, really.
Yeah, my favourite bit of the match was the growing tension between Bayley and Banks as they kept breaking up each other's pins.
Yeah, well, when Sasha Banks versus Bayley happens, you know, the feud, I hope it's a long feud, and I think that'll be something to cement the revolution in women's wrestling, honestly. That could be WrestleMania-like, but as we're going towards 2018, I don't want them to rush into something, but it looks like, you know, it's heading that way.
By this time next year, I do want Sasha to be back to NXT heel Sasha. She was on a podcast with Sam Roberts, wasn't she? And she didn't seem happy about her current direction. So I think
in that instance that she's definitely got to return to like being the villain and stuff, and Bailey's got to be the heroine of the story. But you know, subtly, I think keep doing what you're doing, and then you know, much like when Neville turned on Rich Swann. Hopefully it's out of nowhere, and then you kind of build it from there, don't you? Maybe some respect matches first, and then you turn her. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, no, it was I was pretty impressed with the match. I thought it was a great match. Yeah, pretty could have done with another couple of minutes, maybe another 2 to 5 minutes. Correct winner.
When was the last time that a champion didn't win a multi-person match?
Yeah, I know, I did. I love that they made the odds that are completely stacked against someone, and then they all sneak out. I don't know. It probably would have been a heel, I suspect. This match just knock away the belt.
It's a good trivia question, Chris.
Yeah. Harvey wants to say that amazing fatal four-way last year. And I think The Miz was the champion. He escaped with the belt.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like Elimination Chamber. I knew Bray Wyatt won that, but.
It might have been that,
but I'm not including like Elimination Chambers. I mean, it just seems to be the
good question. We'll have to maybe any of our listeners can answer that.
Yeah, probably out as a tweet, Chris.
A prize, yeah, prize. They can see me on Sky Sports for 30 seconds. it was a great match, and yeah, no, I'm 100% the correct winner. And yeah, I think it should be Bayley versus Sasha at Mania. I've got a feeling, my prediction, I think they will do a Women's Royal Rumble this year. I think Bayley will win it.
Yeah, I think they have enough people to do a Royal Rumble now. Probably a 20 man. I can't see them being a 30.
No, it won't be 30. It'll be 20, 15/20 maybe. Probably 20. Because they can obviously bring back a woman from the past as well. And obviously debut NXT ones as well. Or even just throw NXT people in there just for the sake of it. So you don't necessarily have to put them onto the main roster after that. I think Bayley will win that. I think Sasha will take the belt off Bliss between now and the Rumble.
And not defend it, because she always loses it in her first defence. And then defends it at Mania and loses it.
Yeah, it's true.
Was anybody else hoping that Oscar will come out and attack Bliss at the top of the ramp when she's holding up the title during her interview with Mena Young?
Well, I thought that she might have like popped up on the big screen. Just not even that, just like the mask or something was just going to appear on the screen, and everything would go like dark.
Oh, the kit brought her out, kicked her in the face, and then says nobody's ready for Oscar to Rene Young and just have a walk off.
Yeah, that'd have been quite cool to say. I hadn't thought about that.
Next up, one of the co-main events, John Cena versus Roman Reigns. This match was a bit of a no-win situation for both people, I think. It's pretty obvious that Reigns was going to win going in. A lot better match than I thought it was going to be. Bit of a dog.
Well, I mean, it's two incredible athletes at the end of the day. Yeah, I know, yes, we boo Reigns. Yes, we boo Cena.
I booed Cena the last time I saw him.
Well, I think Cena's starting to get a few more cheers, yeah. But they're two insane athletes. They've done a lot for the business, Cena especially. I've really enjoyed their promos. I think they've been quality. Bit of a random time for WWE to start breaking the fourth wall, though, with these two men. But no, I've enjoyed the feud. I actually thought the match underachieved. If I'm honest, I thought it was going to be a lot better than it was. Not saying it was crap, but I thought it was going to be better than it was. I think the crowd were being a bit predictable, like booing it, not really showing it much respect. But I think John Cena. I think Reigns was obviously going to win. It'd be interesting to see where Reigns goes from here. I know obviously it's blatantly leading up Braun versus Lesnar at Mania next year. It'd be interesting to see where Cena goes from here. Obviously, I think it's blatantly obviously going to be taking a break for a while.
He's off to film the Bumblebee movie. So yeah, and they don't reckon he'll be back till about Rumble time.
Yeah, I didn't think he would be back to Raw. I was hoping, though, when he was walking off at the end, that Samoa Joe was going to come out and just beat the crap out of him when
he's injured at the moment.
But no, I think it'll probably be a Rumble return, or even just before the Rumble, one of these ones who just shows up on Raw and says he'll be in the Rumble, he'll win, and then that's where his feud will start to whoever he faces at Mania. I know it's still talk that it could be him versus Undertaker at Mania.
Yeah, those rumours he's going to turn up on this show and...
Yeah, there was, yeah.
Cost of the match.
I think that's where, yeah, he'll probably return then. He's obviously on for a while.
Do you think he needs to, when he returns, he'll need to change his finisher? Because he kicked out of the AA. He kicked out of the AA off the top rope. Then he kicked out of the double AA. The AA and then roll up to another AA. He then kicked out of that.
Maybe he should just do the, I don't know. Yeah, I suppose.
We'll start calling it the FU again.
Yeah.
So nobody kicked out the FU. Everybody kicks out of the attitude adjustment.
I think I enjoyed the promos. With regards to the match, you know, you talk about the multiple finishes, that took me out of it completely. I really don't like it when, you know, somebody kicks out of over two finishes and then you've got a top rope finisher and you've got a double finisher after the top rope finisher. It was all a madness, to be honest. I think finisher wise should be kept to one or two, and the second one should be the one that finishes the match. It's gone really too far the one way. So enjoyed the promos immensely. I saw them on WWE's YouTube channel. The match was good, but once Reigns was kicking out of four AAAs altogether, I think it was like, this is a bit unrealistic.
So what do you think of the after the match? Do you think the same fans who were booing it were also the same fans who were shouting "Thank you, Cena"?
Yeah, probably.
So well, it was quite usually it's quite deep. You suck, and then the kids and the women are saying that. I can't remember how the chant goes. How's it go? Let's go, Cena, in the kid's voice, and then Cena sucks. Deep voice, but the thank you Cena was pretty deep. A lot of men were saying that.
It's just the fans being fickle, isn't it, really?
Yeah. When I went to see him, I did boo Cena when he came out. But I thought that's just because I'm a male. I'm meant to. I'm an adult male. I didn't get dirty looks for all the kids around me.
If you look at what John Cena did with the US Open Challenge, for example, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they all got really good opportunities against John Cena. So this John Cena, who everyone's supposed to hate or dislike, I don't see it really.
I think it's just part of the pantomime now. You boo him. It's like Roman Reigns, you boo him. It's part of what you do. It's part of the experience of going to a live show.
I think it's the lapdog mentality, to be honest. Somebody boos him, so it must be a cool thing to do. Once again, with Roman Reigns, if you look at his matches and stuff, you put him in there with an interesting opponent who pushes his buttons and his limits, and AJ Styles, a Kevin Owens, a Chris Jericho, etc. And he has a good match. It takes two people to have a good match, so I don't think Roman Reigns and John Cena get the respect they deserve, really.
Yeah, so next up we have a new Cruiserweight Champion after Enzo Amore dick kicks Neville to win the title. Strange match, I thought. She got battered the whole match, then kicks him in the dick and wins the title.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that's definitely Enzo turning heel, isn't it? I mean, there's no way you can have face do that. I don't be interested to see what happens on Raw with the two. The first thing that came to my mind was double turn. Whether the Raw obviously would develop that. I mean, last time I said that, though, it clearly didn't. You know, I thought it was going to be Reigns and Strowman. They didn't do a double turn, so it could just be WWE booking. I think it was quite a good match as well. But I think Enzo can make quite a good heel, like a crappy heel champion. It almost writes itself, really. Neville's obviously been a great champion. Neville get the respect for being a great champion, and then Enzo being just a bit like a heel, like a bit like a Miz, really, in the Cruiserweight division.
My favourite part of the match was when Neville went up to do the red arrow, and then kind of went, nah, I'm not doing that. So all the fans were get buzzing that he was going to do it, because he doesn't do that often. And then, yeah.
I think the key thing with Enzo is, if he's, you know, he's saying he's turned into a villain and what have you, but he's kind of always been that. He's hit behind Big Cass for the majority of his career, so he'd shout his mouth off and Big Cass would go and take care of whatever needed to happen.
Yeah.
So he's always been kind of, either in between or you know, to the villain side of things. He's just, it's just how he is, I think, in all honesty. He's entertaining, his in-ring skills are not up to par, and, you know, Chris Jericho said that on interviews and stuff. But he's talking and he's entertainment, that gets people through the doors, doesn't it, really? And it's got a lot more eyes on 205 Live since he joined. But the only thing I want to see with this is Neville to move out of the Cruiserweight division. If they put the title on Enzo for Neville to move out of the Cruiserweight division and, you know, back towards the other titles, IC title, for example, then I'd be happy with the move. It'd be a correct booking decision. Because this is the time to move him back away from the Cruiserweight title, sorry.
Right, next up is the Universal title between Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. I thought the build to this match was brilliant, but I don't want to say it was a disappointing match. It was pretty short. What I think they've done wrong with this match, they got two big men and tried to make them have a wrestling match rather than just them beat each other up for 10 minutes. When having a wrestling match is not either of their strengths.
There was a lot of high expectations.
Sorry?
I think there was a lot of high expectations going into the match, and a bit like Cena and Reigns match, I thought it slightly disappointed. I don't know whether the tag team title match and the women's match over delivered. I don't know, but maybe my expectations were a bit too high for it, which is great, because obviously Strowman's taken to heights that. Obviously, when he started, people really weren't really interested in him as a wrestler, but now he's actually become one of the main wrestlers in WWE. I think the actual match wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, but nonetheless, still good to watch. I really wanted Strowman to win. Sadly, he didn't. And it's interesting too. But I think I partly was hoping that after the match that. I know it would probably be the same storyline we're talking about, going back, building back to the start, but I thought Wyatt was going to come out and maybe attack Lesnar, and that would be the feud going into Survivor Series, but wasn't to be. I think they'll probably have a rematch, these two, maybe at TLC, if Lesnar's going to be around for that pay-per-view. They could have like a stipulation, maybe like a tables match, obviously, because you could build up with the, obviously, Strowman take, putting Lesnar through the table at SummerSlam.
I think the key thing is with this match, there wasn't much left of the pay-per-view. Much like you, Nick, it needed a Strowman win. I think the match itself was like the majority of Brock Lesnar matches, you know, the suplexes and stuff. And for Strowman to lose like he's lost, I don't think there is a rematch in his future. And just going back to John Cena situation, just quickly, John Cena versus Samoa Joe at WrestleMania. That's what I'd build to, in honesty. And in terms of who you wanted to see come out to tackle Lesnar after the show, Chris, you said Wyatt. I thought it should have been Samoa Joe because
I think Samoa Joe's injured. That's why he hasn't been on telly for the last couple of weeks.
I wasn't sure when he's expected back.
I wasn't sure when he was expected back, but I hadn't heard that it was a really bad injury. It's just
that's what I thought. Come out maybe to attack something. It's not looking. I don't know what injury status, because I'm not a professional wrestler. I don't know what injury status, if you're allowed to physically move and stuff. But obviously, I know you have to be clear to compete in a match. But I thought, yeah, just kind of attacking someone who would probably do that at some point in the pay-per-view.
And if you look at the reports of where the injury happened, the irony with the Samoa Joe John Cena situation I built towards WrestleMania is Samoa Joe's injuries happened in a match against John Cena at house show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, backstory.
Well, I thought the German Suplexes was probably the best that's been booked for a while, because the first one he popped straight back up, the second one he took him a bit longer to get back up, and by the sixth one he couldn't get up.
I understand what you're saying with that, though.
So it's like chopping down, Chris,
I understand what you're saying with that. It's just, if you've seen one match with Brock Lesnar lately, you've kind of seen them all. When he came on the scene in 2002, he's a collegiate national champion, and he wrestles like it. And now he wrestles in a completely different way. It's not a way I enjoy watching, to be honest. But it works for him, and he's in the main event making a lot of money. So, but I would have moved the Universal title to Samoa Joe at Great Balls of Fire. That was a great opportunity to do so, and having not taken that, it probably should have gone to Strowman on Sunday, because they've built him up, and he was the next person that could have taken the ball and ran with it, really.
Yeah, and I don't think Lesnar's back on telly till the run-up to Survivor Series now. I don't think he'll be at TLC.
So, you ain't going to have a Universal title match, are you? You know what I mean? It's that's your main title for your brand, and it's not going to be defended.
Right, so there's one more point about the whole pay-per-view. So, Roman Reigns won with one spear, and Lesnar won with one F5. Do you think that both finishers are just being built up as unbeatable so that when they meet at WrestleMania, when they both kick out of each other's finishers, which is inevitable, they both look amazing, and it'd be like shock horror they've kicked out?
Like I said, with the multiple finishes and stuff, it just doesn't make sense.
The only protected finishes are the spear and F5 at the moment. Everybody else kicks out everybody's finishes.
I know, but that's madness. If it is for what you're predicting at WrestleMania between Lesnar and Reigns, it makes sense. But on the from face value of watching the pay per view, Roman Reigns kicks out of 4 AAs and Lesnar kicks out of 3 or 4 of Strowman's running power slams. It was just madness on the show. But I guess if they are protecting those moves, then yeah, it would make sense. And if built that way, it'll have the correct impact at WrestleMania.
All right, so Nick, what were your overall thoughts of the pay-per-view as a whole?
No, I didn't think it was too bad. I thought it was okay. It probably was. Great Balls of Fire. It was probably on par with Great Balls of Fire.
Was it Great Balls of Fire when they crashed the ambulance?
Yeah, actually, I'd say maybe Great Balls of Fire. I think Great Balls of Fire was slightly better than No Mercy, but still, it wasn't ridiculously bad. But yeah, I think Great Balls of Fire was probably a bit better.
Oliver, what was your overall thoughts?
I think, the Balor-Wyatt match surprised me in a good way. The Raw Tag Team Titles match was outstanding, and the Fatal 5-Way Women's match delivered. So, taking those three matches into consideration, I really enjoyed the show based on that. There was booking discrepancies, like I said, about the multiple finishes and stuff that took me out of emotionally investing myself in certain matches. But no, if I go into a WWE pay-per-view and I see three good or really good matches, then and in terms of the tag match, a great match, then I'm quite happy as a wrestling fan. You know, good show. What did you think, Chris?
I think on paper it looked like it was going to be an amazing show, but I think it's just lazy booking on every single end, and just out of the blue on the Brock Lesnar match and the Cena match, and I didn't like Neville losing, but that's all right. I'm not rushing to go watch it ever again. So it won't be on my list of favourite No Mercies, but that's all right. Yeah, it wasn't like the last one where we had five title changes. I preferred that one.
Two ugly people looking at each other. That's fun. I remember when I was champion, Monsoon. Champion of what? My neighborhood. That's definitely not fair to Flair to be there that long. Shows you how bad he wants it. Shows you how bad he needs it.
Hammer very seldom makes the same mistake twice.
I usually makes it about three or four times.
There was no tag. I didn't see it.
When you're close enough to make the tag, you can switch. You don't have to tag.
You certainly do.
You certainly don't. Don't tell me my business.
You listen to me, you go to the top. You don't listen to me, you're never heard from again.
Go get him, Hulkster!
Yeah, but whose side is he on?
What are you talking about?
Whose side is he on?
What are you talking about?
I'm a broadcast journalist.
You're a liar!
I'm a financial consultant.
You're a liar!
And I'm going to sit here and do my job like the gentleman I am.
You're a liar!
And if you don't like it, you can get out of here. And you can
you're a liar!
Your phone and your headset, and you know what you can do in it.
Don't jump! It's a long way down!
Put him up!
So it's not very often that celebrity death hits me very hard, but I've had a couple this year of Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington, and now Bobby Heenan. So, Oliver, like me, you grew up with the Brain in his prime. What were some of your favourite memories of him?
I think, he's one of the best, greatest managers of all time. I loved the Ring of Honor shows that he did against Jim Cornette, and he had he had a chain around his hand, and he'd use it, and he did it behind the referee's back and stuff, and that was quite cool. Hmm. And then any time he and Gorilla Monsoon were on commentary, amazing. Just, yeah, much like you, it was a death that hit me quite hard.
I thought even though he played a heel the whole of his career, wrestling fans fell in love with him, basically.
It's because he was so good at his job.
Yeah, and he's so quick-witted. It's like, the King replaced him on commentary, and you could tell the King seemed to have a joke book, but with Heenan, it didn't seem like he was telling jokes, he was just being funny. He could have been a stand-up comedian or on a sitcom in the 80s. He's that quick-witted. Didn't have to be in wrestling. So he could have turned his hand to anything. So.
And obviously the weasel stuff will live in infamy.
His weasel match against the Ultimate Warrior, where he dressed up as a weasel at the end and tripped over his own tail. It's hilarious.
Yeah, great stuff.
Nick, of the younger generation, obviously you've had to go back and watch probably the Rain Heel and stuff.
I certainly have, yeah. And obviously, it was, when the time, obviously, when I'm having a lot of group chats and then a lot of people are talking about it, when you see a lot of comments of people, how upset they are, obviously, it's how much he meant to everyone in the wrestling industry. And I've gone back and I've watched some of the videos. To the name always rings a bell as well. It's obviously a big name. So it's, obviously a very tough time. And as I said, it's affected a lot of wrestling fans as well.
Yeah, he managed the who's who of legends of the ring. I can name a few. Nick Bonkwinkle, Ray Stevens, Big John Studd, Hincon Bundy, Andre the Giant, Rick Rude, Paul Orndorff, Harley Race, Mr. Perfect, Ric Flair, Lex Luger, Ernie Ladd, and King Haku. He also had a short spell in Ring of Honor, as you said, where he managed the Second City Saints, which was CM Punk and Colt Cabana for a couple of matches. I think he also managed Nigel McGuinness in Ring of Honor as well. So I think the cruelest part of his whole cancer thing was he couldn't talk for basically the last 10 years of his career, and this in the age of podcasts, imagine the Bobby Heenan podcast, him and his old mates talking about stories on the road, and reliving old school angles. So I listened to some of the podcasts there, and Sean Mooney's podcast he does with Jim Duggan, and which I'd recommend to anyone. But a similar podcast I thought would have been amazing with Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, imagine it being on WWE Network, for example. That would have been something to subscribe for.
Well, you said it right, Alfred. You hit all the points, and you people and myself, we're here making television history right now.
They say money won't buy happiness. Give me $50 and watch me smile.
Do you remember seeing the WCW logo on your last paycheck?
I get cash in a brown paper bag.
Have they ever met before in a ring?
I don't know that.
You don't know a lot of things for a broadcast journalist.
I didn't care to find out. Oh. How do you like that,
Mr. Know-It-All?
Hulk Hogan. Bobby the Brain here, broadcast journalist, Primetime Wrestling.
Cheating is only cheating when you get caught. And bragging isn't bragging if you can do it.
You don't like anybody, as a matter of fact.
I like you, Tony.
Do you really?
Yeah. Gene doesn't like you.
Gene who?
Oakland hates you.
He usually means that means extra pickle.
Heavy on the mayo.
His body's here, which makes a four. He lands, wait a minute, that's a 1040 for him. He just wrote him off.
I never thought I'd say this, but thank you, Roddy. It's a kilt. It's not a skirt. It's a kilt. Well, you know the freak. It's not a kilt. It's a skirt.
All right, so we'll finish with our predictions for Hell in a Cell. Four matches announced so far. We're recording this before SmackDown, so there may be more matches announced. So, first match is Jinder Mahal versus Nakamura. It doesn't say that it's a Hell in a Cell. It's just a singles match advertised at the moment. Who are you going for? So.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Nakamura wins that, isn't it? Surely.
Nick?
Yeah, Nakamura as well for me.
And then build to Nakamura versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania next year.
That's what we can hope and pray.
Well, at the Starrcade pay-per-view, they've advertised these two in a cage match. Is that spoiling the end of this match?
Not necessarily.
Hasn't said who's going to be the champion in that match.
Yeah, I don't think it does. It could be like the rematch show.
Yeah, exactly.
Alright, the only advertised Hell in the Cell match so far is Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens has to win this. Shane McMahon can't beat real wrestlers, can he?
Well, no, it won't make any sense if Shane wins as well, because obviously it will kill the best storyline in WWE at the moment, in my opinion.
This is building to a Survivor Series team of McMahon versus Owens.
Yeah, of course it is. Now I think it will lead to either Triple H taking Owens' side or Triple H taking Owens' side of Shane. So I've got a feeling he might take Owens' side.
That could be interesting. If we do that.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it might. Going to be interesting though. Obviously, I think the majority of people are probably presuming it's going to be Triple H versus Owens at Mania, and that's probably what it will lead to. But it'd be interesting. But yeah, no, I think Owens will win the match.
So next up,
I think in that situation, Nick, I think Triple H will take Shane's side, because obviously Stephanie's involved because of what Owens did to Vince, and then that'll be the logical build to Owens versus Triple H at WrestleMania next year.
I suspect that probably will be the case. Yeah.
Right, next up is New Day versus the Usos.
Just like I said before, the tag team divisions is on fire in WWE, isn't it, really? I think they've built this as the last time that they'll face each other.
Until Starrcade.
Until Starrcade. I'm not sure which way that'll go, but it'll be a tremendous match to watch. Like all the other matches between the teams have been.
Yeah, they're our match of the night at SummerSlam, even though they're on the pre-show. So. Natalia versus Charlotte?
That'd be an awesome women's match.
Carmella will cash in.
That's going to be my next question. Do you think Carmella will cash in?
I think Carmella will cash in that night.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
On Charlotte or on Natalia?
On Natalia, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Alright, so what other matches do you think there'll be? We'll start with the US title. AJ versus Corbin makes the most sense, I think.
Yeah, like I said before, I think AJ, Corbin and Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, I think it'll be a triple threat match.
That could be fun, yeah. I've gone for Orton versus Rusev.
Just as long as he doesn't get beaten in 15 seconds.
Well, he kind of got his revenge-ish by beating him in 10 seconds on the last SmackDown.
Oh, well, if he does it again on the pay-per-view, that'd be great.
Bobby Roode versus Ziggler, possibly? I'm trying to think. I think this whole Ziggler coming out as random people is going to lead to him coming out to Glorious in the next week or so.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's a definite. And then I think Roode will win the feud, obviously, push the new guy over. Yeah, I think that's definitely where it's going.
Do you see on the official release, the Starrcade release, they called him Booby Roode?
That's made
me giggle. Couldn't have changed it, though. But. Right, and last question, will we find out who's been messing around with the Fashion Police?
No, we're never going to find out.
Yeah, that might be one of wrestling's unsolved mysteries.
Because apparently it was aliens who beat them up the last one.
Oh, God.
So we still don't know who's actually been messing up the their officers. I'm still sticking with it's going to be Harper and Rowan.
Yeah, I think that's blatantly obvious, yeah.
There was a rumour it's going to be the clones when they come back, because one of them's injured. But I think it'd be quite disappointed if it was the clones.
And I said last time that it could be the Officer Pain.
I don't know, I think it's too much of a comedy angle for the Officer Pain. I wouldn't like them. I can't see Elohim doing joke stuff since. I've not heard either of the Officer of Pain speak English. So. They speak their own special language. Even. One's Canadian and one's Dutch, but they don't seem to speak either language. So just shout random nonsense at each other.
Sorry, possibly another women's match, maybe a tag match or something. That's the only thing I can think about. Maybe Becky Lynch, Naomi against Tamina and Lana. Something like that.
We'll go with that. Thank you for joining us today, Oliver. I've really enjoyed speaking to you again. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Cheers, Chris.
Hello, Sal.
Thanks, Nick.
Huge thanks for listening, and we'll leave you with more words from Bobby Heenan. Good night.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.
To be indicted into this Wrestling Hall of Fame, this fraternity of people, is a tremendous thrill for me. It's just an honor, and it's a real privilege to be here in front of all you people and in New York City. And really, one thing is missing. I wish Monsoon was here.